I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 4 this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. Another privilege. Thank you for the privilege this morning and for the message we've heard. And we look for another message from God's Word this evening. Be reading Galatians chapter 4, 1 to 11. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Those who are able, let us kneel for prayer at this time.
Greet each of you in Jesus' name tonight. God bless you for being here, and I believe God will bless as we come to worship him and as we come to look into his word. Thank you, Brother Donald. That prayer was very special, and each of you for praying. I was thankful tonight that Brother Dustin gave us opportunity for songs, for hymns, and 693, it fits in so well with the text tonight here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 of 693. I once was an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. And so there you have adopted, you have an heir, and we have those words in our text tonight. So we want to entitle this tonight, Adopted by King Jesus. And some of us are working our way through Galatians, and tonight we are at Galatians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. And we have a scripture here that brings out this glorious topic, this exciting topic, a topic to rejoice in, of the children of God being adopted by and through Jesus into that glorious heavenly family. And so tonight, adopted by Jesus, King Jesus. And tonight, as we look at these scriptures here in Galatians chapter 4, there are several terms that I just want to briefly go over. An heir, H-E-I-R, without the H in the pronunciation, an heir is a person who inherits. In other words, this happens in real life right here on earth. A father and a mother die, and then children become the heirs of whatever they have left behind materially. And when they become heirs, they inherit. To inherit is to come into possession of. And so when folks die and there is an estate that needs to be settled and there are children, the children are the heirs, and they inherit, they take possession. They come into possession of whatever's been left behind by whoever has willed it to them. There's another term, adopt. In our scripture tonight, adopt is to take another's child as your own. To take another's child as your own. And so, let's look at this verse by verse. Galatians 4, you have your Bible there. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul speaks very plainly with those Christians there in the Galatian church. There at Galatia, these Christians who have listened, they become Christians, they've accepted Jesus Christ and the gospel. But down the road, they have begun again to listen to the Judaizing teachers, who are false teachers, and they are opposing the gospel of Christ. These Jews who have been justified by faith in Christ are slipping at this point back into the bondage that you find yourself when you're under the law, a law that you cannot keep to perfection, and therefore it condemns you. It leaves you wanting the law of Moses. Last Sunday night, we were at the end of Galatians chapter 3, just tying this all together, Galatians chapter 3, looking at verses 24 to 26, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. But ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There in verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Children of God. The Greek word for children here, actually, it means full-grown adult sons and daughters, but that's what it really means, the Greek word for children. Full-grown adult sons is what they're talking, what the Bible's talking about here in Galatians 3:26. Even as the minor is no longer under his schoolmaster upon reaching adulthood, so one is not under the condemnation of the law upon believing in Christ and learning and becoming God's son. Coming to God by faith in Jesus Christ in verse 26. The last three verses in Galatians 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here we have this word heirs in chapter 3 as we bridge over from chapter 3 to chapter 4. Chapter 4 starts out with that same word. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So an heir, as we said a little bit ago, is one who inherits. One who inherits is one who comes into possession of that which has been left to him or her. Those who are in Christ have received sonship, daughtership. Paul uses the Roman practice here in verse 1 of Galatians 4. He uses the Roman practice of guardianship for a minor to illustrate man's temporary time under Moses' law, something that would be replaced. You know, we heard last Sunday night, you know, the promise came to Abraham, and then we had the Mosaic law, and all it was pointing toward Jesus Christ. And this fact and faith, this realization that all of the children of God would come to God by faith in Jesus Christ in verse 26 of chapter 3. A Roman father appointed guardians to manage his child's affairs until 25 years old. We might think that's a little old, but that's how it was. This child was under this guardian until age 25, at which time the son, came of age, and he was considered an adult. And so a person's spiritual immaturity under the law is set in contrast with the Christian's blessings of adult sonship in Christ. verse 1 was telling us that, you know, as long as he is a child, he's no different than a servant is, though he actually be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Tutors oversee they would oversee the minor's personal development, his person, his physical being. The tutor would oversee that, and the governors would oversee the minor's possessions, his earthly wealth, or you know, that which would become his when he became of age and was no longer a minor. And so the governor would oversee those possessions, those earthly things, those things that one makes a livelihood out of. Verse 3, even so we. And now here we get the analogy. Here we get the comparison. Like I said, you know, Paul used a Roman practice of guardianship for a minor to illustrate man's temporary time under Moses' law. And then you come to verse 3, even so. And so here we're being compared to this as children of God. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Children spiritually. Children before we came to know Christ and came by faith to Christ and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so as children, as immature, people are in bondage. They're subject to the basic teachings of the law. Slaves, always failing. Never able to completely fulfill that law and say, I've done it perfectly and now I've had success. Never. And so they're forever a slave to it. Failure after failure. The Old Testament saints, they were like children in a sense, underage, in a state of darkness and bondage when compared with the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. Under the law of Moses, there was darkness, there was bondage in Luke chapter 1. And way up in that chapter, there's a lot of verses in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, 78 and 79, Zechariah is prophesying here before the birth of Jesus. And in 78 and 79, the Bible says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There was darkness back then. One could not see their way truly and fully to God, where it was really going to be a satisfying experience and complete acceptance. The law was a schoolmaster, it was leading to something, it was pointing to something much greater and much more complete, completely complete, and the real thing. So that's where the Old Testament saints were. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, under the basic rudiments, the elements, the what made up the law. And man trying to please God, man trying to get right with God. And yet there was failure after failure. Remember the meaning of Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Full-grown adult sons, that's telling us, and that means that our position in Christ is true sonship. It's amazing tonight, the truth that is in this scripture, that you and I sitting here tonight can become and have become, and praise God, Jeff Bierkamp became a son of God because he accepted Jesus Christ to be his atonement, to be his propitiation, to get the wrath of his sins away, that wrath would no longer be upon him. But then God was satisfied because Jesus took those sins. Full-grown sons, adult sons, meaning that we are true sons and daughters of Christ and of God. So Paul, in writing to the Galatians here, they're slipping back into Judaizing ideas, Judaism, the false teachers that are hollering up the law again. They're confusing these babes in Christ, these Jews that are become Christians. They're confusing them. And Paul desires that these Galatian believers understand how much greater an experience it is to live by faith in Christ, and to count on the faith, to count on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, rather than trying to somehow muster up enough of their own righteousness to someday be accepted by God. So much greater it is to be free from that bondage of the law, the slavery that is, that they would come by faith to Christ and experience sonship. Verse 4 of our text, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come. You know, compare that with verse 2, the time appointed of the Father. When the fullness of time was come. Born of a woman. Jesus' humiliation. Becoming a man so he could die for your sins and for mine. He became a man. Philippians, I know you know this scripture, but I'm going to share it with us quickly. The humiliation of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Christmas, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because he did that, because he was willing to leave the glories of heaven, and take on flesh and blood like one of us so that we could know God through him and so that he could lay down his perfect life on the cross to pay for our sins, we could experience sonship and become sons and daughters of the Most High God who created us. Born under the law, that verse says there here in our text. I lost my text, Galatians. I have too many papers in my Bible. Galatians. I'll get back to Galatians chapter 4 here. Thank you for bearing with me. That verse continues there. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Under the law, or subject to the law. Jesus was born a Jew. And I believe Jesus adhered to the law. He was born a Jew under the law in order to redeem those under the curse of the law. And then verse 5. He did it to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Beautiful words of life here in your Bible and mine tonight. Beautiful words of life. Adoption of sons. Through faith in Christ, we become God's sons and daughters by adoption. To adopt is to take someone else's child as your own. I don't know if any are here tonight that have been adopted, or maybe you have adopted someone, and you know the beauty of it all. You know how that feels? But that's on the earthly level and realm. Tonight, I don't even think that can begin to compare. Even as great as that might be, it can't compare with the adoption that we're talking about tonight that we find in God's Word. To redeem them that were under the law. They were under the law, they were in bondage, they were in slavery. There was no hope under the law. But he came to earth, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, so that he could redeem us under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Try comprehending it. Try comprehending it. Every one of us here in this place tonight were children of another. We were children of Satan. We were all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all inherited the sin nature that Adam passed down to the whole human race. So we were children of another, headed for hellfire. But those children of another, the devil, headed for hellfire, can be turned around by the grace of God and adopted by God through the work of his Son. No, we can't comprehend it, but we can accept it by faith and we can rejoice in Jesus Christ our Savior. Our holy, pure God, willing to adopt members of the sinful human race into his glorious royal family. Tonight, that's the greatest thing that we could ever talk about or experience here on this sinful, wretched earth. Verse 6 of our text. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Or Daddy, a relationship, Daddy, Father. Every child of God is given the Holy Spirit at the moment of adoption. I believe at the moment of conversion. At that moment that they are changed and they become a new creature in Christ. The old has passed, the new takes a hold, and they get the Spirit of God. And the Spirit lets the child know that they have a daddy or a papa, Father God, a relationship. And concerning this, verse 7 says, the next verse of our text, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God, an inheritor of God through Christ. We're going verse by verse, but I want to jump very briefly here to a parallel scripture in Romans. A very supportive scripture here in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 18. A lot of parallels here, a lot of complementary scripture to Galatians 4. Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Remember there in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir. Verse 6 had said, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. And here in Romans 8, we read about the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise God tonight. Unlike some teach, we can know we belong to God. We can know that we are saved. We can know that we have hope of heaven. Not because we think or have some idea that we have lived a good enough life, but we know our faith is in Jesus Christ, and his Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, verse 17 of Romans 8, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ. Through this adoption, we are actually made Jesus Christ's brothers and sisters. We're made his family. There's a condition here. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. And then one of the most exciting verses, and I love it, verse 18 of Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Don't even think of comparing the tribulations and the distresses and the trials, persecutions that we might experience now with that glory that is laid up for us in our eternal home. In other words, don't let the distresses and the troubles and the disappointments of the present life derail you from faith in Christ. In other words, keep the eternal view and not the short view. Because this is so temporal, and what we're experiencing now is so short compared to an eternity that people will experience hellfire, or they'll experience the glories and the pleasures of heaven, one or the other. The present, you don't even want to start comparing them. And so when Satan tempts us to do that, so to get discouraged with the Christian life because of the trials and the troubles we're facing, and really, it hasn't been that terrible for us here in America. Maybe disappointments generally in life, but many in the world, you know as well as I, have given their lives for Jesus Christ. They've been beheaded. Some have been burned. And yet it's not worthy to compare, the Bible says, with the glory that shall be revealed in us when we get to heaven. So be faithful and hang in there. We've been adopted, and our God is in control. And he's all-powerful, and when we are weak, through Christ, we are strong. So let's not get discouraged. Let's keep marching to the drumbeat of our Master and our Lord, our Captain, Jesus Christ. So some of the conditions of being the children of God that we find there in Romans chapter 8, number one, we mentioned that led by the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says there in Romans 8, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. We must allow the Spirit of God to lead us. This is one of the requirements of adoption, of being joint heirs with Christ and being joint possessors of the kingdom with Christ, that we would be led by the Spirit of God, that we would choose to walk in the Spirit and say no to the flesh. And there are many scriptures for that. I'm not going to turn to them tonight. And that verse 17 and 18, if we suffer with him. Very plainly it says there, we can be joint heirs with Christ if so be that we suffer with him. So that's another condition. We need, number one, we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit to have his way. And we need to say no to our own way. Number two, that we would be willing to suffer with him. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And there are more verses there in 1 Peter chapter 3 about suffering for the sake of Christ. 1 John chapter 3, I'll get back to the text. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. It didn't know him. Why should we expect the world to know us and love us? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him, this hope of seeing Jesus, and being like Jesus, whoever has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Sounds like another requirement for this adoption and for being joint heirs with Christ and indeed being sons and daughters of the Most High. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And when you do that, then I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty." Try comprehending it. The God of all the universe, the God of creation, the God who always was and always will be, again, promises. These are promises of Scripture that he will indeed make us sons and daughters. When we come out from among the sinful, when we indeed separate ourselves from them and touch not the unclean thing. Luke chapter 8, one more scripture here before I get back to the text. Luke chapter 8. Then came to him his mother. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand outside without, desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Jesus has a family. It has nothing to do with blood type or one's genes or one's family tree. And one could experience life on this earth and not have any family. Be all alone. Be lonely and not have friends and not really feel like they belong. And yet, through the gospel, such a person could end up being a member of the greatest family ever. And they could live eternally forever in that place that Jesus went to prepare. Because he is willing to make those who accept his way, those who yield their lives to his lordship and obey him, those who hear and do the word of God, "My brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Those who hear the word of God and do it, those who obey the word, those who separate themselves from the sinful, those who separate themselves from the world, and those who put themselves in Jesus' hands as Lord and Savior of their life, they become his brethren, his family. And it is forever to the faithful. Hear the word of God and do it. Do you accept being adopted into the kingdom of God? Well, the person who accepts adoption into the kingdom of God is saying that they are giving up being their own boss. They are giving up pleasing self. And they're turning their whole life over to Jesus, the one who gave his blood. If you've been adopted tonight, you have been bought with a price. And the Bible commands you and I then to therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. It's serious business being adopted into the family of God. We now obey him. He is now our master. He is now our Lord. And we now work and we live our life for the King and his kingdom. God, through Jesus Christ, wants to adopt many, many, many souls. Goes right along with Brother Ray's sermon this morning of getting out there and witnessing and sharing Jesus Christ with those around us, those on our block. The more that are adopted into the royal family of God, the more glory and the more honor God gets. That's really the number one reason for missions, that God would receive more glory and honor. And of course, another reason is that men would not perish and spend eternity in hell. Back to our text, we'll finish up here. Here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, that sounds like a kind of a turn here, kind of like the word but maybe. What it really means here is, howbeit then, at an earlier time. At an earlier time, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. At an earlier time, before these Galatians became Christians, they were pagan and they were serving false gods. You know, by nature are no gods. They were false gods. They were not real. So that's what they were doing at one time. But now, verse 9. You know, at one time, that's what you were doing in verse 8, but now in verse 9, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements of the world? The weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Why would you turn from the glorious liberty and freedom in Christ and turn back to bondage and be slaves again? It doesn't make any sense. It's tragic for that kind of thing to happen in a person's life. Presently, you personally know God because you've been adopted by his son, Jesus. You have become a son, you have become a daughter, you have experienced God's grace, you have experienced his love and his freedom. How can you possibly turn to the wretched, miserable conditions of your former life that the world offered you and that the flesh offered you? The flesh and the world and the devil. All your enemies that want to get you into hell someday. How could you possibly turn back to them, Galatians? Paul says, don't do it. Don't be bewitched. I think he uses that term in the letter to Galatians. You know, the word weak here in verse 9, those weak things. How turn you again to the weak? You know, the weak, those things that could not save you. They had no power. The beggarly, that the inferior, so inferior were they to the faith that you now have in Christ. Don't slip back. Stop slipping and get your footing again and move forward once more with Christ. You Galatians, who have known the gospel of Christ and you've known his grace and his salvation. Verses 10 and 11 finish out the text here. Ye observe days. This is what they were slipping back into. And this is what Paul gives strong warning and admonition for them to get corrected. You were observing, you were starting to, again to observe days and months and times and years, these things of the law. I am afraid of you. In other words, I am afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain, lest I have labored in your presence in vain. They were reverting to observing parts of the law. And Paul fears for them that if they continue in this path backward, that they'll lose all their blessings of adoption in Christ that they have received. You know, brothers and sisters, many things are very important. Dress is important. Modesty is important. Baptism is important. Church membership is important. Many things are. Keeping commandments and keeping the commandments and the ordinances, it's very important. But the moment we do not completely, 100% rely on Jesus Christ to save us, our religion becomes vain. And we can lose our adoption and our right to sonship and daughtership in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, lose your life to save it. The Bible says, in so many words, give yourself up for adoption. Because you can't do it on your own, but Jesus Christ has done it, and his blood is available. Throw yourself upon him. Allow him to adopt you. You need to get out of that wretched, sinful family and get into the glorious family of God through Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name.
Thank Brother Glenn for the message this evening. Had a thought come to me as he was talking. You know, when I was a younger boy, there was someone I looked up to very highly. That was my dad. He couldn't do anything wrong. He could build anything he wanted to with wood. He could lead any song. He knew every song in the book. He could do many earthly things that I thought was perfect. And I looked up to him. I later realized that he was human, but I didn't diminish the power and the pride I had in my dad. There was a few days when I went with him riding in a truck as a boy, and what made me the happiest is when he referred to me as his son. I was happy to be called his son because I was so proud of my dad. Tonight, we are called the sons of God. How proud are we to be sons and children of God? And what does that mean in our lives tonight? Are we proud to be called sons of God? And how does that play out in our lives? Just a challenge. It was a challenge to me. I hope it was to you. Let's all rise together as we pray.